Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet Shortwave every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm your host, Hal Shurtleff. The program is sponsored by Camp Constitution. Among other things, Camp Constitution runs a week-long summer camp program. Next year's camp will run from July 10th to the 17th. It runs at the beautiful town of Ringe, New Hampshire, at the Tohippi Christian Retreat Center. And we're lining up a great list of instructors, as well as all kinds of wonderful recreational opportunities. And for more information about Camp Constitution, you can visit our website, campconstitution.net. We also publish some books and some other reprints and important things of interest. And we have something pretty new here. We have something called the Sam Blumenfeld page, and we have become the recipients of Sam Blumenfeld's library. Many of his unpublished works, as well as his essays and newsletters, and his numerous videos. He just did an incredible amount of speeches around all 50 states and around the world, actually. And those things have been archived. But his most important work, I believe, was his Alpha Phonics. It was something he designed to overcome this horrible Lipsey method of reading that makes most of our children, functionally illiterate. And we're able to upload that and 130 lessons, all on video and audio. So visit the website and get great information about that. Now, my last show, I had talked about a video documentary called Death by China, and I had been showing it actually around the New England region, and I was up in the Arista County where this show was aired, and I had showed it to some various groups, and it was very well received. I don't know if I agree with every single point. One of the points makes it look like some of the policies our country has with China is based on stupidity. I wish that were the case, unfortunately. But one of the persons that was interviewed in the video, it was a number of good people. There, the CEO of Paul Revere Ware. There was liberals and Democrats and Republicans. Made some excellent points. It was the head of the AFL-CIO, which was refreshing to see. But one of the man that impressed me the most was Harry Wu. Now, Harry is somebody that's known to many of us in the freedom fight. He's been a focal critic of communist China. I'm very honored to have him on the line. Harry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, in the video, you made some really important comments. You were referring to the American companies that operate, and their excuse when they collaborate with the illegal activities of the Chinese government, or we construe illegal or immoral. You say that they were simply following Chinese law, and you said yes, we were following Stalin's law, and we were following Hitler's law. So that the notion of obeying the law doesn't apply because it didn't work at Nuremberg, as the world learned. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background? You spent 19 years in a slave labor camp. So can you give a little bit of background about your experiences? We only have 30 minutes, so keep that in mind.
First of all, you have to know Chinese is a communist regime. And when the Communist Party take a revolution, that means they divide the people in different classes. So everyone in different class, and they want to abolish two classes. One is landlord class, and the other one is the bourgeois capitalist class. So I belong to capitalist class. My father was a banker. So my father was tortured and died. And when I graduated from the university, I was arrested and sent to re-education to labor and to reform me. I don't know.
And you're talking about the early 1960s when this happened.
Yeah, originally on 1960s. So I leave the society, leave the country, and nobody talked to me. My mom was committing suicide. She was scared. And my brother was persecuted because he was suspect that he insult the Mao, Chairman Mao's portrait. So later he, in 1980, killed by the police too. So the whole bourgeois class was finished. And until today, you know, Chinese borderland is come to so-called the government-owned, the nation-owned, not public-owned, and no one on the land. So this is a communist regime. The Mao is the biggest murder.
Now, you wrote a couple of books. In fact, I just ordered one on Amazon about your experiences. You wrote one about the Chinese prison labor camps, Legao. Is that
Lao
Gai? Right?
Hmm?
Lao Gai. Thank you. Hmm? Lao Gai. And also your experiences, sort of your memoirs. And I recommend listeners get copies of these to really understand. One of the arguments we've been hearing for many, many years, and I want you to refute this argument, is that when we participate with trade with China, the Chinese government will see us as, well, they're capitalist or free market. And if we do that, they'll become more like us, that there'll be more prosperity and hence more freedom. Can you comment on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think the economic free will lead a political free. For example, China until today, no religious freedom. And Boston has many Catholics, but Roma Catholic until today, I mean, since 1949 until today, no Roma Catholic is illegal. Okay? And China built the labor camps just like a Soviet gulag. Okay? They want to abolish these so-called class enemy and put them in labor camps. But the people in the world today, including America, you know, they welcome the Alexander Solzhenitsyn because they're thinking about the gulag. But in 1993, when I remind the people, say, China have Lao Gai, and, you know, the people don't really care about it. Especially the Clinton administration supposed not really care about it. But Chinese labor camps have much more victims, much more than gulag. Gulag probably 25 million, but China at least 40 million. They entirely abolished the landlord class and capitalist class. Today, the economy actually is running by not really free market. Is running by the communist government. And recently, 10, 20 years, they allow the people have the so-called right to operate a restaurant and operate a furniture and buy the car, whatever, and American involved. And but the major, the industrial and all the land, every square inch of land is owned by the government.
So the average Chinese person can't go to college, get a degree in business, borrow some money from a bank, and set up shop. That doesn't happen. Is that correct? It doesn't work that way, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
I mean, in this country, our parents, we may inherit a business from our parents. We may start our own business. In China, though, the captains of industry are really, I think the term is communist princelings, and they're not really free market capitalists. They're not their own masters, and they're sort of controlled. They are controlled by the Chinese communist regime.
Oh, yeah, this is government-owned. It's now, not a surprise at all. First of all, you just remind me about the university. You have to know. You can invest in China, maybe set up a kind of insurance company, set up a restaurant. You can... The McDonald's, whatever, you can do it, whatever. But you cannot invest in one area, the medium and education. All these grammar school, middle school, and university is controlled by the communist government. And all these printing house, TV station, radio station, movie theater, and all the newspaper is controlled by the Chinese propaganda department.
And if a Chinese citizen tried to criticize the government, they
you can't criticize, because, for example, in the 1960s, when I graduated from the university, I didn't say anything about it, but I did not know that I was a Catholic and I was a member of the capitalist class. That's why they sent me to the labor camps.
Two strikes against you, right? You're Catholic and you were a capitalist, right? One of the tragic things is that I tell people, first off, that the fact that Mao Zedong came to power, he had a lot of help with our country and our State Department, and that since the early 1980s, we have been doing almost everything we can. Well, first off, we kicked Taiwan out of the we voted to get Taiwan kicked out of the UN. Of course, we should be getting out ourselves, but that's another issue. But from the early 80s up until now, we have given China most favored nation trading status. We've given them, we've actually helped create their steel industry. And as people on that, in that wonderful documentary, Death by China, One Job at a Time, they point out that we can easily compete with China if the Chinese government wasn't subsidizing and giving kickbacks and so forth.
Well, you're talking about most favored nation trading status.
Yes.
The United States only give it to the communist family, two countries. One is Romania, the other one is China.
Mm.
Okay. And United States, in 1990s, we debate on, should we give China most of the nation trading status related to one issue, so-called forced labor or prison labor-made products importation. Because by law, by American law in 1930s, Americans forbidden the products which
the was smooth
made
hollow tariff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Congress always say no and no. But administration, the Clinton administration, so okay, let's at the beginning Clinton say, no, we should not give Chinese most of the trading status when he did not get a vote. And got a vote, they changed. He changed. Allowed American all the way go to China, do the business. And most of the nation trading status, no talking about, and prison labor today, everything in the United States, many of them made by prison labor.
Now, you mentioned a very, and it was interesting because I've, back in the late 80s, I actually met a gentleman that was a witness to Tiananmen Square, and they had some very harsh things to say about our policies, which were totally correct. But you had mentioned that, I think it was you in the video, that the more the Chinese communists, the more our government sort of coddles with the Chinese communists, the rougher it gets for the people in the slave labor camps.
Well, I want to say the people in Chinese prison and the people in American prison is very different. Because if I, in American prison, I still have the rights of my thought, of my religions, of my future. But in China, it's no.
No.
I was in the jail. I said, I can't disagree with the Republican. I disagree with Obama. I want to say, down with President Bush, whatever.
Right.
It's my rights. I can engage with all kinds, Roman Catholic or Buddhism, whatever, what kind of religious. But in China, no. What they say, they Lao guy. Lao, it means forced labor. Every prisoner are forced to labor. I was in a coal mine 9.5 years, 2 shifts a day, 12 hours a day. No.
And you, what is the average life expectancy in a situation like that? I imagine it's not very long.
No, until today still. What is the guy? Guy, it means reform. You have to reform your brand. You have to uphold the communism. Today in China, if nobody can criticize Xi Jinping, you cannot criticize the Communist Party. That's only the Communist Party ruling the country. It's very different. Even you are PDC, you are a drug trafficker, you don't involve any politics, but you have to keep your political line this Chinese communist regime.
Now, American companies like Google, in fact, there was a cartoon with the Google logo, and the two O's were basically handcuffs. And they referred to the Great Firewall of China, where it's very difficult, if not impossible, to, when you turn on your computer, to have access to many of the websites that other people enjoy around the world. And you were very properly condemning companies like Google, saying for shame that you participate. Can you elaborate on that? What extent does Google have cooperating in other big U.S. companies that are going overseas and going into China and pretty much complying with whatever the Chinese communists want?
Google and Chinese company, Chinese regime is a complicated situation, okay? But mm-hmm. some of the companies, for example, Cisco, is very simple. In 10, 15, or 20 years ago, Cisco have a big contract, many, many contracts with Chinese security department. At that moment, China don't have internet, don't have very good computer systems. Today, China did. But Cisco helped the Chinese set up internet. They have advertisement. They told the Chinese, say, hey, we can support you, do your work effectively. Okay? We can help you to search the criminal. Okay? Even sometimes the people say, hey, in Beijing, in Shanghai, on the street, they have a camera system. And the Cisco say, no, 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 we don't sell camera. But actually, the camera is operated by the computer systems. And the computer system was supplied by Cisco. Mm-hmm. So we very care about the Tiananmen Square. And after Tiananmen Square, American passed a law forbidding to sell any product, include the so-called handcuffs, so-called pistols, okay? And in the law, they say you cannot sell the computer. But actually, there's so many money involved this problem.
Well, okay. I remember Tiananmen Square in the wake of that. There was all kinds of demonstrations against our policies. I remember Bill Clinton, when he was running for president, rightfully criticized George H.W. Bush. Then, of course, he did the same thing. And I think it was just 2 weeks after the Tiananmen Square, maybe it was a week, Bush sends a delegation of his members of his cabinet basically to say, don't worry, what will you hear in our press? It's going to be business as usual. This will die down, and we will get on with business. We're not interested. Don't worry about anything we say. It's all going to blow over, and people will forget. That's pretty much what happened.
Yes, you're right. It's a don't worry. Because China is a country that do not have much power in military, in political. Okay. So a couple of, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, Chinese announced that we have long-distance missile. We can cover all of the United States except the southern part of the Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the CIA and the Defense Department said, okay, don't worry about it. They only have maybe 10 of them. We can solve the problem in 10 minutes. It's true. But today, how many? How many do they have? More than 300. Okay? They are 4 and 5 air carriers building. They have a missiles, long-distance missile, and a lot of submarine. And American commander of the number 7 fleet all the way to South China Sea to see the Chinese military activities over there. What's going on?
And the sad
country has repeatedly upgraded their military systems.
But we also are doing mission. We are actually collaborating with them. They're sending their here in Massachusetts. The Massachusetts Maritime Academy has a delegation of Chinese cadets or midshipmen. And on top of that, they make them salute the Chinese flag, the communist flag. And then you'll see early October to commemorate the revolution, the communist takeover. You'll see communist flags fly at the White House. You'll see them fly in certain parts of the country. And the average American is, I don't think they really like it, but I don't think they quite understand the significance of these. They somehow think that if we have some of these nice Chinese boys over here, and they'll learn about us and they'll be wonderful. But I tell these folks, I said, these people are government agents. They're not here because they're nice kids that worked hard and went to college. They're here to report on behalf of the Chinese government.
Yeah.
And yeah, the same thing about, I know I have some friends that are Falun Gong practitioners. I am not myself, but I have some friends from China and then some American, from some people who are, you know, U.S. citizens. Some of these folks have become U.S. citizens. And they say that the arm of the Chinese communist has come right down into Chinese communities in the United States, where some of these people who are speaking out against the Chinese communists in this country are getting assaulted. You know, is there any truth to that, or have you experienced anything like that yourself?
Today we find that a Chinese female correspondent, her name is Gao Yu, Chinese put him in the jail for 7 years, just recently. For what? Because a Chinese document was freed out and she sent it to someone. That is so-called the crime.
Wow.
Okay. And you know, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, the only one, Chinese, today is still in the jail.
Still in jail.
It's more than 5 years now. Yeah. And many other people were there.
Now, when you went back to China, you went back in the 90s, didn't you? For a business.
Yeah.
And they tried to put you in jail at that point? Yeah.
Yes, 1995. Okay. Actually, in 94, I was immigrate and upgrade and become American citizens. I have an American passport. I hold it. And I back to China in 35 days. I always visit all of the labor camps everywhere, sometimes posing like a prison or prisoners or family, whatever, to see what's going on. Okay? Because today in America, you can call the State Department, call the Judiciary Department and say, hey, how many camps, how many prisons in some California, in New York, whatever. They will tell you about it. But we do not know where is the prison camp in China and how many of them and what are they doing. So I back to China to try to find out. 1995, I tried to go again and Chinese arrested me. But I am American citizens. According to China and United States have an agreement, if United States arrests Chinese people or Chinese government arrest American people, they have to both sides inform in 48 hours. But they don't keep it. They don't say anything. They keep it secret. 20 days.
Wow.
Okay? My colleague is IBM sales manager from North Carolina. He was kicked in China 5 days. Finally, he was kicked out. He back to the State Department and reported to the State Department saying Harry Wu was caught. And State Department talked to Chinese embassy and talked to Chinese foreign affairs, and they say, no, we do not know.
Hmm.
20 days later, they say, okay, we arrest Harry Wu. So what? So what's the reason you arrest me? I have a legal passport and legal citizen, and I have a Chinese legal visa. Why you arrest me? And then they put me in the jail, sentenced me 15 years. And American TV station interviewed Jiang Zemin. Say, what's going on? Jiang Zemin said, oh, I don't know. The judiciary in China is independent. Are you sure? Independent? And then they sentenced 15 years. Say, I'm stealing state secrets. I said, what is it? What is the state secret? The prison camp or what?
Oh, sure.
And then they say, we sentenced 15 years. We have additional charge is deportation. And we want to use the deportation first, and later we We do not know what's going on. And they're delighted to kick me out and now back to the United States. I only spent 66 days in China.
Now,
listen,
tell us
one more thing I want to tell you. At that time, all the Congress, include Democrat, include Republican, include British, include French, include all the world, the people stand up and say, free Harry Wu. And many people
I remember that.
Yeah. Many people talk to Hillary Clinton because she intend to go to Beijing, participate in the United Nations Women's Rights Conference.
I remember that very well. Yes, I remember that very well.
But
yes.
I want to tell you one more thing. At that moment, Democrat Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi called Hillary when Hillary and her husband was in Yellowstone Park. Nancy said, would you make an announcement? Say, I will not go to Beijing, participate in United Nations Conference because you illegal arrest Harry Wu. Unfortunately, Hillary said, I will go. Although I cannot go over there as a first lady, I will go over there as an American citizen.
Mm.
So when August 23rd, I deport back to San Francisco, the next day, August 24, both sides, Chinese State Department and American State Department, make announcement. Hillary Clinton will join the United Nations. So this is politics.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, I have to.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi, but I have to commend her for doing what she did in your behalf.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi is one of the time, not one of the time, many times he was in the Congress. He support condemn Chinese human rights.
That's good. A couple of times, we have about 4 minutes left. I want to ask you about your foundation and the museum you have in Washington, D.C.
Yes. We have the foundation, talk about Lao Museum. Because in 2008, I got an invitation. I went to the White House. I met President Bush. I showed him that December 2005, there's a resolution passed over by the Congress, American Congress, condemned the Chinese Lao Gai. I showed President Bush, I said, would you, as a president, make an announcement, condemn the Chinese Lao Gai? And she said, I will do it. I'm very happy. But what else? Nothing happened. Okay?
He never did it, did he?
Never did it.
I remember he went over, right after 9/11, he went over to China. And he's dressed up in the China, and he's telling people that any enemy of any organization that supports terrorism is an enemy of ours. And here he is around the enemies where he's being hosted by them.
Because the American always thinking about Chinese is very weak, is a no military threat to the United States. But remember, we fight in Korea, we fight in Vietnam. In front of the American soldier is many, many of Chinese soldiers.
Okay. Right.
And we have to remember China is a huge country. If this country has a lot of economic power, they definitely will grow up by the military too, become another serious threat. And basically, I understand, I was coming from China, Americans very, very concerned about human rights. Okay, for example, last year there's 100,000 people protest in the Washington, D.C. I said, what do you protest? They said, oh, we protest about abortion. I said, you sure? Yeah. Yeah, we want to stop the abortion. I said, do you know that in China there's millions of abortion every year because China have a population control. They only allow one family, one child.
One child.
Each family have one child. How to do it?
We have a minute left. So what I want, if you give out your website and just how they can get a hold of your books that you've authored.
But is nobody talking about this issue today? Okay.
Not enough people, actually. Yes, not enough people. But you definitely, you'll hear it on our show, and people in my circles, and they're very critical about it. So if people want to learn more about your, I used the word ministry or your mission. How can they get a hold of you?
Our phone number is 202-408-8300. And the website is laogai at laogai.com.
Okay. I hope to visit with you in December if you're going to be in D.C. area. I wanted to check out that museum of yours. It's been an honor to have you, and I'd like to have you on again at some point. So God bless you, and thanks for listening. Good night now.
Thank you.